I invite you to take your Bible, please, and turn with me to the 56th Psalm. If you did not get a listening guide on the way in, you can slip your hand up, and someone will get you one of those from the back. We are continuing our series in the Psalms, talking about the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. A couple weeks ago, we heard about how this person is one who is blessed, planted like a tree by streams of water, and he is known by God. Known by God in terms of the blessing of eternal life and having God's grace, his free and undeserving favor towards us. And the Bible says that that's the blessing of the man who hears God's word and does what he says. And in our Psalm series, you said the Psalms are both a picture of faith and a pointer for faith. They're a picture of faith, like a scrapbook, and they show us 150 times of people who are delighting in the word of God and hiding his word in their heart. But the Psalms are also not just a picture for us, but a pointer for us. They point us toward the word of God, who is Jesus Christ, our Savior from sin, our sustainer in life. And the Psalms help us as God's people to not only know what God has given us in Jesus, but to see what he is making us in Jesus. God is making us people who delight in the word of God. So, hopefully you're there. Now we're in part three, I think it is, of our series, here from Psalm 56. This was written by David. And he said, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me, for my enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's turn to him and give thanks to him for his word and ask for his help as we seek to hear it. Heavenly Father, there is no one like you. Father, you are our creator. You are the one who has put breath in our lungs and brought the sun to shine again this day. We thank you that you hold our lives and everything in the world in your hands. Father, we thank you that you've not only put breath in our lungs, but you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins and to endure the same suffering that we go through. We thank you that in Jesus we have a risen Savior. And Lord, that when we are afraid, we have one whom we can go to. So teach us, Lord, now. Help us to still our hearts and quiet our minds. Help us to turn away from the many cares that no doubt press in upon us now. Help us to know that you're in control. Help us to hear from you now, your voice and your word, that we might do what you tell us to. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful psalm, one that has spoken to me throughout the years in my following of Christ. And I think the point of this psalm is to teach us that we can face our fears with faith in God's word. We can face our fears with faith in God's word. You know, when we read about the people of God in the Bible, if we were to be honest, it's not exactly full of fearless people when you flip through the pages of the Bible. You don't find super strong, brave people. In fact, you often find the people of God shaking like leaves on a tree. Just a brief survey, you know, if you think of the Israelites, think of them facing the giant Goliath. of the Philistine army, the Goliath from Gath, and instead of trusting in the Lord, the Israelites are cowering on the battle line. Every time he marches out, I think for something like 40 days, they run and hide like ants scurrying away until David finally comes and through his faith in the Lord takes out the giant, right? And you know, when you speaking of David, you look at him, and he also is a man who's regularly admitting his fears. David is a man who, for a good chunk of his early part of the kingship, he's running for his life. He's a man who's on the run from Saul. And in this particular psalm, if you have your Bible there open, you'll actually see a little note at the top of the psalm, which David actually wrote this when he had to run to the land of Gath. David wrote this psalm when he had to run to the land of the Philistines, because even though David was anointed king, he faced immediate opposition from Saul. And he had to run from King Saul, who was not going to go quietly. So David's running for his life. He's captured by the enemies of Israel. And that's when he wrote this psalm, when he was behind enemy lines and he was afraid. So the Israelites were people who were fearful. David is a person who was afraid. And it doesn't stop at the Old Testament. When you turn to the New Testament, you have the Apostle Peter, a man who not only felt his fear, but acted out in fear. And you see him denying Jesus Christ 3 times. And the night before his crucifixion, he says, I'll never deny you, Lord. And then first chance he gets to save his own skin, 3 times he gives into his fear. And he fails to trust in God's word. So when people say, you know, the Bible doesn't really speak to me, or I don't really find the Bible that helpful, I would say, man, what Bible are you reading? Because when we read the pages of Scripture, we find a book that not only talks about God, but man, we find a book that talks about us. We open the Bible and we find that the Bible knows more about us. It knows us better than we know ourselves. The Bible's talking about our fears and we're like, yeah, that's me. I have many fears. You know, this book, God's Word, it knows us better than we know ourselves. And it actually speaks to everything that we feel. And that's important because we have emotions and feelings, things that God wants us to submit to His will, that we would feel the way that He wants us to feel. So, in particular, this psalm speaks to us when we are afraid. And this psalm addresses the fear of the faithful. It addresses the fear of godly persons. In particular, when godly persons face opposition from ungodly persons. Right? There's a lot of reasons why we can be afraid, if we're honest, right? But the Bible is not just concerned with if we have fears. The Bible is concerned with who we fear. And with what we fear. So for example, if you don't want to follow God's word, if you don't want to depend on God's promises, and you're kind of worried about how life is going to work out for you, am I going to be all right if I don't follow God's word? The Bible would say you should be afraid. You should be very afraid because it's not going to work out well for you. But the answer to that is simple. You need to turn to God's ways and trust in Him. He's the one who's going to deal with those very real fears you have if you're not a follower of Christ. But the 56th Psalm is addressing the fear of the faithful. What do those do who trust in Jesus, the righteous one, and then who want to live righteously? What do we do when the world and the devil stands in opposition to our faith and to our hope? Psalm 56 says, we can face our fears with faith in God's word. It says the prescription for our fear is faith in the word of God. I'll show you guys a picture here, and you'll probably laugh. But I traveled to India in 2010. There's the Taj Mahal. That was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I went to India in 2010. Through my college, we actually went to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ through local Christians who lived there, local Indian believers. And, you know, before I headed over to India, I took good advice, and I made a trip to the doctor to be prepared for life in a different environment, in a different place than where I lived. I got, you know, stuck in the arm with, it felt like a dozen shots, you know, it felt like I was just, you know, like getting stuck over and over again with all kinds of vaccinations. And ahead of time, I was actually given a pack of antibiotics from my doctor. And I'll show you this next picture here. The doctor said to me, hey, you are probably going to get sick when you're over there for your 2 weeks, you know, your 10 to 14 days, however you're long there. So when you start feeling sick, you need to start taking this antibiotic. And this will knock out whatever you have going on. And I said, okay, doc. And I stuffed away in my bag. I flew off to India. Trip started. And off we went. We hit the ground running, right? We went to all kinds of places, visiting many people, eating all kinds of stuff. They're like, you want to try this? I'm like, sure. And I'm like, I don't want this, but okay. You know, and they're eating like, you know, stuff that sits out in the sun. It's like goat milk that they like just let it simmer in the sunlight. And they take a big ladle and scoop that down and throw it in the cup, chug some of that down, and then they filled it up again. And my translator said, stop drinking it. They'll keep filling it. So if you don't want any more, stop drinking it. And I'm like, okay. So, well, anyway, they had a good time. But sure enough, about a weekend, one evening, sure enough, I was not feeling good. My stomach was all kinds of not feeling right. I mean, it was like talking to me. I'm like, I am not feeling good, and I was sick as could be. And in that moment, I needed what the doctor prescribed. That doctor knew where I would be. He knew what I was going to need when I was living in that different environment. He prescribed what I needed. And similarly, guys, hear this. As followers of Jesus, God knows where we live. God knows that we will have fear. He's not surprised when we call to Him and say, Lord, help. Lord, I'm afraid. His own Son turned to God with faith in God's promises as He lived faithfully in the world. So God knows that as followers of Jesus, you and I live as sojourners and exiles in a world that is not our home. We're looking forward to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So in the meantime, we need God's help to live as people who are not shaken by our fear and by all that is pushing back against our faith right now. We've come here like shaken like leaves on a tree, and we need the Word of God to stand on as the prescription for our fears. So the blessed person is the person who learns to face their fears with faith. So what does it look like to do what the doctor orders? Well, first off, in the psalm, we see that when we are afraid, we can cry to God in faith. We're going to look at this psalm, cry to God, consider who's on the throne, and find your confidence renewed. First off, cry to God in faith. Look at verse 1. David begins his prayer. He says, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long, an attacker oppresses me. In case you missed it, he says it again. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. But when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? This is David crying out to God in faith. It should be noted that the Bible does not paint spiritual maturity. It doesn't paint spiritual strength as a person who needs never to pray. It doesn't paint faithfulness as a person who never faces fear. In fact, in the Bible, we find that those who are spiritually mature are needing to pray all the time. It's like you can never get enough of praying. And in fact, they're facing fear always. So a blessed life, the blessed life does not require the absence of reasons to be afraid. Sometimes we say, I have so many reasons to be afraid. I can't be blessed until these things are gone. It's like, well, look at this. It doesn't require the absence of reasons to be afraid. A blessed life requires learning what to do when you are afraid. And you come to that and say, okay, now we're speaking my language, right? If the Bible says, hey, for all you people who have no fear, God loves you. And you're like, well, I'm full of fear, so I guess I'm really far away. But when the Bible says, hey, those of you who are filled with fear, look at the one who does love you and has hope for you. You're like, okay, this is speaking my language. This meets me where I'm at. So consider David's fears with me and how he trusted God. David, when this psalm begins, is immediately pouring out his heart to God. Some people, they're just concerned with the style of their prayers. They're concerned with how they sound, concerned with what other people are going to think. Won't pray in private, won't pray in public, right? But God does not care about the style of our prayers. God just wants the sincerity of our prayers. David doesn't have all kinds of fancy things. He's just, when he's desperate, not knowing how to pray, he's finding that is the best time to pray. And for you and I this morning, we need to be reminded, when we are feeling desperate, when we don't know how to pray, that is the best time to pray. Because Romans 8 tells us that as followers of Christ, the Spirit whom God has put in us intercedes on our behalf look in Romans 8, but with groans that are even beyond words. By the Spirit of God, we cry out, Father. And sometimes that's all we can pray is, Father, help me right now. When you are desperate, that is the best time to pray. And it's not only that we can pray, but we must learn to pray when we're afraid if we want to be freed from our fears. So David lifts up his prayer. He says, be gracious to me. He says, God, I need the help of your promises right now. Why? For man tramples on me. And he's restating himself. And I'm just asking you this morning, you ever find yourself praying and restating your fears or your worries to God? You're praying to God and you're anxious about something, and then you're praying and you tell him the exact same thing again, and then you're praying and you tell him the exact same thing again. And I know I have. I have found myself restating my fears again and again to the Lord. And let me just say, it's good to pray about what's on our hearts. Because when you actually pray about what's on your heart, you will find that you're not stuck staring at your fears, but you begin to look at the one who can help you through them. It's important to pray about what's on your heart and what your fears are, so that you can stop staring at your fears and start looking to God. That's why it's important that we learn to cry out to God. David was anointed king of Israel because Saul failed to follow God. But as I mentioned a moment ago, Saul was not going quietly. Saul wanted to kill David. And so David had to run from Saul, and he fell into the hand of his enemies. You can read it in 1 Samuel 21. And the Philistines have David in their clutches, and they're talking about whether or not to take David's life. And the Bible says that David was much afraid. His life was in danger. The ungodly are about to trample underfoot God's king. God promised David, you're going to be on the throne, you're going to be king of Israel, but right now it seems like everything has gone horribly wrong. You speak about the promises of God, and for David it seems like they're not reaching him. And that happens to us. A lot of times we think that God's promises are not reaching us, that we've fallen through his hands, that we've fallen into the hands of the enemy, and that we're suffering beyond God's sight, out of his reach. Where are his promises? And when we feel like that, we can see what David does. He says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. One commentator said, David put aside his fear and praised God's promises. There is something for us to do when we are afraid. Put aside our fear and praise God's promises. And when he does, see what happens? He says, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. When David trusts in who God is and in what God has promised, David finds his fears relieved. It takes faith to have your fears relieved. It's like Alka-Seltzer to a cold. You know, you've got all the runny nose and you're feeling miserable, and you plop two of those tablets in there and the bubbles start coming and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. And you gulp it down and what a relief it is, right? As the commercial goes. Like the same way with our fears. We have to learn to have faith in God's promises. So David had a lot less to go on than we do. So think with me here for a moment. David is in the Old Testament. He knows God's faithful. He knows God is the Savior of all those who trust in him. He knows God forgives sinners, that God will protect his saints. But David had just a shadow of God's promises. David knew less of God's word than we do because Jesus had not yet come. But you and I, we don't have just a shadow of God's promises. We know the whole substance of them. We have seen all of God's promises to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I don't know what God's hope is for me. Well, Psalm 37 says that the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord, and he is their stronghold in times of trouble. Guys, Jesus has come. He is the stronghold for all those who trust in him. He's the shelter. He is the salvation, the rescue for our souls. In his life, in his death, in his rising again, Jesus has defeated our sin. He's taken the penalty that our sins deserve. He has defeated our enemy, the devil, who would seek to drive us away from God. He has given us hope in the world. We're looking forward to eternal life. Christ has done that for us. So when we're faced with fears, we're not talking about crying out to God to be happy, healthy, and wealthy on this earth and to have everything back that I've ever lost. We're not crying to God in faith for those things that are fading away. We should be crying to God through Jesus and remembering His forgiveness of our sins, His help for living this new life in His Son. When the devil, our enemy, comes and accuses us, seeks to discourage us, seeks to get us off track from the life we've been given in Christ, we cry out to God as the one who defends us from all the devil's schemes. Ultimately, we cry out to God that we might walk in the light of life, that we might walk with hope, not in hopelessness. That's the victory, walking in the light of life. So, I don't know all your fears this morning. Some of us, we've gotten to know each other pretty well, and we've talked about some of our fears with each other, but I still don't know all of your fears. You don't know all of my fears. But God knows all of your fears. God knows every weight and burden that we carry. And He calls to us in the gospel of Jesus. And He says, the good news of my Son addresses all your fears. In Colossians, Paul tells the believers there, he says, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus, we've received a different spiritual destination. We have a different place of address now. We have a lasting hope. So when our fears come to us in the forms of our finances not being sufficient, we're worrying about having enough money, when our fears come to us in uncertainty regarding tomorrow, what's my life going to be like tomorrow? What's my life going to be like next week, the next grade, the next school I go to, the next day on the job that has really been rough this week? You know, we face finances, fears of uncertainty, when we talk about like our need to be loved and we're afraid because we don't want to be alone. We want to be loved. All these things. And we can go on. We face the frailty of our life, when we're concerned about our family's well-being, when we're persecuted for following Jesus. We can't stare at our fears. They will enslave us. They will knock you out. You have to look to the one in whom all your hope is found, Jesus Christ. The one who gives you hope in the midst of all these things. So, you guys know I like to exercise some. You guys know I'm not a gym rat, but I do like going. We do like going to the gym to exercise. Every once in a while, man, one of the funniest things to see is somebody who's got too much weight on the bar. And, you know, I'll be working out, and you kind of see the dude, some guy like, oh yeah, check this out. Look at Arnold Schwarzenegger over here loading these weights on the bar, right? And every once in a while, some guy will have too much weight on the bar and be too stubborn to call out when it starts slipping and he's not able to put the weight up anymore. And every once in a while, you'll be working out, and you'll just hear this, help! And you look over, and some bro is just getting pancaked. And you see people running over and getting the bar off of him, and you're like, what were you doing? And he's like, I thought I had it. And you're like, well, you thought wrong. Like, you need to call out sooner when you got too much weight on you. And it's the same way for us. I mean, we must learn to turn to God, cry to Him in faith. Otherwise, our fears are just going to pancake us. That's not God's will for our life. He wants us to find relief from our fears through faith in His Son. So, I ask you, you know, what have you been doing with your fears? What have you been doing with your fears? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. Are you crying out or to God, or are you being crushed by your fears and just silently struggling underneath the weight of them? You know, the Bible knows no fearless person who's not first a faith-filled person. The Bible wants us to be filled with faith, not filled with fear. And maybe this is helpful for you this morning, because you only heard people talk about what God wants you to do, but you haven't heard about how God wants you to feel. He wants us to have faith in His Son. So, next, look at this and say, you know, where do I need to let the weight of my fears be addressed by the person of Jesus? Where do I need to let what it is that I fear be addressed by who Jesus is and be addressed by His love for me? You might know how to be afraid, but I ask you, do you know how to trust Jesus with what you're afraid of? Jesus has addressed the source of our fears. Again, just think with me for a moment. He's died for our sins. He has taken the wrath of God that you and I deserve forever in hell. Jesus has borne that upon Himself so that when we trust in Him, we would be forgiven of sin. and looking forward to eternity in heaven. Jesus has risen from the dead. We're aging. We're breaking down. Christ will raise us to new and eternal life. The grave is not the end for you and I. Jesus loves us. He's given us His Spirit. There is not one step into anything, whether the workplace or your family's needs or your financial needs, there's not one step you're going to take apart from the Spirit of God dwelling in you, being with you, to comfort you, to guide you, to help you in every step of the way. Christ is coming back for us. So we need to turn from our fears to faith in Jesus and say, I need to let who Christ is address whatever it is I'm afraid of. And if, you know, you're here this morning, maybe you've never turned to Jesus. You have yet to put your faith in who He is and what He's done for you. Christ would say to you this morning, whoever comes to Me, I will never cast out. Believe in Jesus. Turn to Him. He'll save you from sin. He'll give you that good hope. He'll put the Spirit within you. And for us as Christians, just make sure that the promise of the gospel continues to work on your fears. Take your concerns to Jesus. Don't feed on your fears. Feed on what God promises to help you with in His Word. And fine, okay, David discovered we're never alone. You and I are never alone as followers of Christ. We can cry out to God, and importantly, we need to go to other people who think that they are all alone and bring them good news and say, you are not all alone. And I'm not just talking like me being here with you right now. You have One who walked in your shoes, lived for you, died for you, rose again, wants you to call to Him. It's not just for us to enjoy for ourselves. Say, yeah, I'm not alone. I can have someone to cry to. You need to go to others who don't know who to cry to and say, you need to turn to Jesus. Call on Him. Find relief. So when we're afraid, we can cry to God in faith. Secondly, when we're afraid, we can consider who's on the throne. Cry to God in faith. Secondly, consider who's on the throne. Look at verse 5. David says, all day long, they, referring to his enemies, they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Continues to think about his enemies. They stir up strife for me. They lurk. They watch my steps as they've waited for my life. For their crime will they escape? He says, are they going to get away with it? No, he looks to God and says, in wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. God, cast down those who do not fear in you, who don't trust in you. You know, one of the things that fear can make us do is think irrationally. It's getting close to Halloween time. You probably, if you got cable, you're seeing like every Halloween movie ever made on replay like 5 times. You're like, oh, I missed it, but it's all right. It's going to be on again next week, right? And one of the things in like every scary movie ever made is apparently whenever the bad guy gets into the house, you're supposed to run upstairs. And it's like, why would you run upstairs when a bad guy's in the house? Like, you can't get out of the house when you're upstairs. Like, bad guy comes in the house, I am running out the door or through a window or through the dryer vent. I mean, somehow, run out of the house, right? Or you're watching the movie, and if you ever want some good entertainment, watch a scary movie with me because I can't handle it. I don't know why. I just had a box of Good and Plenty's once watching a movie. I looked away, I looked back, shot them all up in the air, you know. I startle easy, right? But you're watching the movie, and, you know, they hear the noise down in the basement, and you're like, don't go down there. Why would you go down there? They're like, that's dark. That's, of course, where the bad guy is. And, you know, you're going to scream, and no one's going to be able to hear you because you're in the basement, you know. But fear causes us to think irrationally. And we have a similar need for us when faced with our fears. If we lose sight of God, we will run the wrong direction. We will think all the things we shouldn't. We will forget all the things we need to remember. And then all of a sudden you find your fears facing you, and they're just like mountains towering over you. It feels like your fears are just on steroids, and you're like hyperventilating, and you're like, somebody get a brown paper bag. I'm just, you know, you're just trying, you're just... Suddenly, you've made a mountain out of a molehill, and you feel like your fears are just crushing you. What's happened in that moment is you've lost sight of the One who knows it all, and He sits above it all. So instead of grabbing the paper bag, David shows us a different way. He considers Him who's on the throne. He thinks about God's control, he thinks about God's care, and he brings his case before God. There is a judge you can bring your case to at all times. When David thinks on his enemy's activity, David sees, you know what? What these people are doing oppressing me, oppressing God's will. David sees, you know what, their end is no escape. They're going to receive judgment from God. They're watching me, but God's watching them. And a defining thing for David is he's able to talk about the activity of his enemies without going into panic mode. David is able to maintain his hope by remembering that God's in control. So guys, sometimes we're going to be faced with situations where we are not able to keep others from doing wrong to us. We're going to be faced with situations where we are not able to keep others from doing wrong to us. Sometimes we're going to be able to go get help, maybe get the authorities, or I remember riding the bus to school, and like when I was in the classroom, I had teachers I could talk to get to not be bullied. When I rode the bus to school, I got bullied for like 30 minutes, and there was just opportunities where I was not able to stop others from doing wrong to me. And that can make us afraid. So what do? Well, we need to trust that God's on the throne. God knows all. He sees all. Right now, we know justice in part. But when Jesus comes, we will know justice in full. So David trusts God's control, but then he also trusts in God's care. And he comes to understand more God's care and his love for him through all of his fears. And this is crucial for us. This is a crucial part of dealing with our fears, understanding God's care for us. You guys have probably heard of a myth that when ostriches are afraid, they bury their heads in the sand. You ever been to the zoo? I've never seen an ostrich do that. I don't think they really do, but the myth is still a good example. Apparently, when ostriches get afraid, they just dunk their head in the sand, and they just try to be out of sight, out of mind, right? And a lot of times, guys, when we're afraid, when we have fears, that's what we resort to doing. We turn into ostriches, and we just want to bury our heads in the sand. Our fears make us shut down rather than speak up. And that's not God's will for us. And we find David is not shutting down as he deals with all his fears. He's speaking up and praising God. How is he able to speak up and not shut down? Well, look at verse 8. He says, he speaks to God. He says, "You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle." He says, "God, I know you've kept track of them. They're in your book. My enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me." David says, it feels dark right now, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. God knows me. He knows my struggles. He knows my fears. He knows when I can't fall asleep at night, when I'm tossing and turning. He sees all of that. And the tears and tossings that we have are not, they're not falling to the ground. Our tears are not falling to the ground pointlessly. The fears of God's children are never forgotten by our Father in heaven. The Bible tells us we can be assured of that. He sees, he knows, and he's going to act on our behalf. He is on our side. We are living in the in-between, where already we have victory in Christ, but not yet has that victory been fully worked out. And you might be thinking, why am I here living in the in-between? Well, God has us here living in the in-between to learn to praise him through the difficulties of trials and to learn to press on to see the promises of our hope unfold. So guys, this makes all the difference in the world for how you're living. When we consider our fears through God's eyes, rather than fears taking you out of the race, faith allows you to press on. Rather than feeling like, I'm just going to give up, I'm just not going to try today, and veering off onto the path of disobedience, faith allows us to press on and stay obedient. Like we don't know how everything's going to work out, but we can trust in the one who does. We can speak up even as we go through fears, rather than shutting down when we're weighed down by them. So, think for a moment, you know, tell you the end of the story. Oddly enough for David, David ends up escaping this. The way David escapes being captured by these people, the Philistines, is actually by faking insanity. And you're like, is this real? It's real. You can go read it in 1 Samuel 21. David starts acting like he's out of his mind. He starts drooling and has, you know, saliva running down his beard and starts clawing at the walls. And the Philistines are like, this dude's crazy. Like, why'd you bring a crazy guy here? Like, just let him go. And they let David go. And David's the king. David actually ends up coming back and conquering the Philistines, right? So you look at that, and they'd be like, David, that was crazy. The Israelites would be like, David, that was crazy. Like, I can't believe God delivered you. You faked insanity. Like, how did you keep your cool when you were captured by your enemies? How did you not just let fear totally shut you down? And David would say, I considered God who was in control, and I considered God who cares for me. He kept his cool as he went through his fear. So, what are you considering as you deal with your fears? Are they causing you to shut down? Or are you able to keep your trust in God and speak up and praise him even as you go through your fears? You know, are you remembering what you need to? Or are you forgetting about God as you deal with different fears? You know, we say, yeah, I know what I need to do as I deal with different concerns or different worries that I have. But, like, are you doing it? A lot of times people will come to me and say, I'm just giving up. I'm just done. There's just no way forward. I just can't anymore. And in that moment, you're like, what do I tell somebody who comes to me and says that? Like, they're just done. Well, what I say is, like, where are you looking? Because obviously, if you're looking to God and you remember that he's in control and that he cares for you, you will not feel like giving up. So there must be something wrong with where we look, where we're looking when we feel like giving up. We need to make sure that we're keeping our eyes on God, just like David is here in this moment. God doesn't live in a moment. God lives in eternity. There will be no escape for the wicked. There will be constant care for the righteous. Are you living in light of it? Are you on God's side? If you're reading this psalm, I ask you this morning, do you share the hope that David has? Particularly when you think about others who are ungodly and those who perhaps are causing you trouble. Are you trusting in God's judgment that he will ultimately take care of those who fail to repent? Like, our control is partial, but God's control is complete. So first off, when you think about God's judgment, number one, two R's, are you ready for God's judgment? Have you yourself turned to Jesus to find forgiveness of your sins and the wrongs you've done to others? Are you ready for Christ's return? And then secondly, are you resting in Christ's return? That he's going to set every wrong right. To look forward to that. And then with your burdens, are you living in line with the hope that you have in Jesus? You know, like, one of the most helpful things to know is that God knows what you're dealing with. There's no suffering, no struggle that's unseen by God. So you don't have to let your burdens make you cold or calloused or sealed off from God and other people and hard-hearted. You can take comfort knowing God cares about me, God loves me, Jesus has saved me, he's sustaining me. I don't need to become a bitter person because of all the difficulties or fears that I'm carrying. So instead of burying our heads in the sand, we can be people who are declaring God's praise. We can live worthy of his control. If God is in control of everything, we should live like he is. If God cares for you and I, keeps track of every tear, every tossing, we should live worthy of the God who cares for us, who sees everything that's going on in our lives. We can hold our head up high and prepare others for Jesus' return as well. Instead of being taken out, we're pressing in with our faith. So, when we're afraid, we can cry to God. We can consider him who's on the throne. And lastly and briefly, you can find your confidence renewed. Verse 12, David, now in a totally changed attitude, says, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. You've delivered my soul from death, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. David was shaking like a leaf. Now he's planted like a tree, firmly fixed in God's grace for him. And he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I'm going to obey God. I'm not going to find excuses to not obey God. I have none. I'm going to give thanks to God no matter what. God has seen to it that he's going to preserve me in the light of life before him. So how about it? What about us? Will we face our fears with faith in the Word of God. He's the stronghold of those who trust in Him. He is our salvation. Jesus is all the reason we need to obey God and to give thanks to Him. So when we go from here, we need to let the rubber meet the road and say, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in You. In God whose word I praise, and God I trust, what can man do to me? Pray with me. And let's ask for God's help in living this out in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank You that through faith in Jesus, through faith in who He is as Your Son and all that He's done for us, in His life, in His death on the cross, in His resurrection, Father, we can be freed from our fears. We thank You for the good hope that You've given us in Christ. And already, Lord, we see how it has changed every part of our lives. It's changing us personally. We find Your praise coming off of our lips and from our hearts to You for all that You've done for us in Jesus. We find ourselves wanting to love others and serve others and telling them of the good hope of Christ. And Father, we thank You that Your word also addresses those very real times when we have many fears arrayed against us. Things that threaten to scare us, to make us shut down and not speak up, to take our eyes off You and become less effective in our knowledge of You. Father, teach us to face our fears with faith in You. Help us to remember that You are in control and that You care for us. So help us, Lord, to not make excuses, to not follow You because of our fears. Help us to let Your word address them, and that we would press on until Christ returns. We love You, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.